and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live today morning. We got a whole weekend's worth of news to talk about, and a lot of revelations into a number of cases. Really, they all share a lot of similarities. We've got new revelations about the Thomas Crooks case, new revelations about Jeffrey Epstein, new revelations about James Comey, and so much more. Lots of videos to get to. Damani Felder will be joining me in the third hour to talk about sort of the MAGA Civil War and how we chart a path towards not just a good future, but one in which we dominate completely. So very excited to talk to him in the third hour. Like I said, we have just a ton of revelations, Mexico burning down, basically. Just a ton of incredible stuff. So let's not waste any time. Let's get right into it. Here it is, your Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Monday, the 17th of November, 2025. President Trump demands House Republicans vote to release Epstein files, warns Republicans not to fall for Democrat trap designed to distract from his record-setting achievements. Meanwhile, Democrats seize the moment to weaponize the scandal, suddenly insisting on releasing the Epstein files years after blocking their disclosure to the public. Gateway Pundit reported last week that the Democrat Party suffered an epic humiliation after social media users caught them making up a lie about President Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. That was so embarrassing. On Wednesday, the Democrat Committee on Oversight released a so-called tranche of correspondence from the Epstein estate claiming to strike a blow against the White House's Epstein cover-up. The three unrelated emails span from dates 2011 to 2019. Democrats redacted the name of the victim who publicly exonerated President Trump, even though the Epstein estate itself did not redact her name. Just one of the many aspects of this investigation where the Democrats are playing fast and loose with the facts and the timeline and their participation in it. We'll get into more of that later. Meanwhile, significant details emerge on would-be Trump assassin Thomas Crooks' alleged social media presence, including an intriguing alias and his pronouns. He also apparently is a trans, a furry, curious potential assassin. So again, we'll touch on that a little bit more, but the takeaway story is that the FBI has known this the whole time and has withheld this information from the American people and is now mad that it's being released without their permission, which my answer would be you should have released it yourself if you'd had all of this. We'll go through it later, but Cash Patel put out this tweet list of hundreds of hours of investigation and all of the evidence they recovered and all of the agents that were on the case and all the interviews that they carried out. And it's like, okay, but you've told us nothing. You've told us nothing. So, you know, private investigators have gone and found this information and are now releasing it without your permission. You could have just held a press conference at any point in the last year and a half and told us any of this information, but you didn't. And so the question becomes, why didn't you? We'll answer that later. Meanwhile, acting FEMA Administrator David Richardson resigns. FEMA employees penned a letter criticizing the direction of the agency. Current former FEMA workers wrote to Congress saying the Trump administration's changes to FEMA could hurt America's ability to respond to the next disaster. Which is interesting because in the past, the only limitations, the only, you know, barrier to protecting Americans after disasters has been FEMA themselves refusing to give aid to Trump supporters or the demand that states swear against BDS and swear to uphold their fealty to Israel before they receive FEMA money. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff wrong with FEMA. It ain't Trump that did it. He's trying to fix it. Meanwhile, judge finds profound misstep in U.S. probe of FBI ex-chief James Comey. Again, more just sort of technicalities that they're, you know, attempting to frame as destroying the entire case, despite the fact that he is guilty of what he was accused of because he did it on video and in front of everybody. And finally, we have this Gen Z style protest spread in Mexico, fueled by mayor's murder. And this was an absolutely massive scene of conflict outside of the palace there in Mexico. And we'll get into what is behind this. It looks like it was inspired quite heavily by the Nepal uprising of Gen Z, in which they organized a new government on Discord, of all things. It's a strange new world, folks, and unexpected things are happening. Stay here, and we'll try to piece out where this goes. That's your Daily Dispatch, brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. We'll be right back.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, a legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 98% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now, InfoWarsStore.com.
Watching the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a lot to talk about today, obviously. Epstein, Thomas Crooks, James Comey, and so much more. I think maybe we'll start with what's happening in Mexico. What's happening in Mexico is largely unprecedented, although we have seen something similar to this happen in Nepal, of all places. Story at Reuters. Gen Z-styled protests spread in Mexico, fueled by mayor's murder. Thousands protested across Mexico on Saturday under the banner of Generation Z, denouncing rising violence after the public killing of an anti-crime mayor earlier this month. In Mexico City, a small group of hooded protesters tore down fences around the National Palace where President Claudia Sheinbaum lives, prompting a clash with riot police who deployed tear gas, according to Reuters. The Mexico City Public Safety Secretary Pablo Vasquez said in a public conference that 100 police officers were injured, including 40 who require hospital treatment. Another 20 civilians were also injured, Vasquez told the local media outlet Milenio. The public safety secretary also said 20 people were arrested and another 20 referred for administrative offenses. And yeah, the violence was pretty incredible. Demonstrators tried to pull down a barrier during the protest, or they did pull down the barriers. They'd erected sort of a temporary fence around the palace and the government buildings there, but those were no match for the angry crowd. A group calling itself Generation Z Mexico that called for the protests has said in a manifesto circling on social media that it is nonpartisan and represents Mexican youth that are fed up with the violence, corruption, and abuse of power. Generation Z refers to people born between 1997 and 2012 on the heels of the millennials, and protest groups in other countries across the globe have taken on that label to push for social and political change. Sheinbaum's government has questioned the motives behind Saturday's march, claiming they were organized in large part by right-leaning political opponents promoted by bots on social media. This has become the most convenient excuse for tyrants around the world, is to blame absolutely everything on bots or foreign influence or the machinations of your political enemies. Could it possibly be that Generation Z is just actually genuinely sick of living in a completely, utterly, and horrifically corrupt country? That couldn't possibly be it. It couldn't possibly be that they're responding to reality in an appropriate way. It has to be that they're all mindless zombies controlled by robots, because that's the excuse that you need to make in order to completely ignore, downplay, and basically make illegal the actual genuine concerns that they're talking about. I'm telling you, I've got multiple examples from today of this exact thing, same thing happening. Now the latest lie from the right-wing Zionist is that the division in MAGA is actually being sponsored by Russia. It's actually Russia that's making people mad at Trump. But no, it's not, idiots. No, it's an appropriate response. It's an accurate response to reality. You can't keep downplaying the concerns people have and claiming that they're illegitimate for no reason. For no reason. They have no reason to believe that this was bots on the internet forcing people to do this. It's just the excuse they need to make so they don't have to actually give any consideration to the demands being made by the rioters. Protesters rage against Mexican government over corruption and violence. It's a headline from New York Times. And we've reported on this over and over and over again. It actually originally started with the previous Mexican president, AMLO, but Sheinbaum has continued the practice in which they do not have Secret Service. They don't have, like, they disbanded the Mexican equivalent of the Secret Service. The bodyguard for the president doesn't actually exist anymore. There was a video like a week ago where Claudia Sheinbaum is giving a interview on the street, and some guy comes up and starts like groping her, and it was like really embarrassing. But it's because they don't have nearly the level of protection they probably should, especially in Mexico, a country in which during the 2024 election cycle, 200 people were murdered in acts of political violence. 30 candidates were murdered in a single year, in a single campaign season in Mexico, but the president doesn't have any bodyguards. That should be your first hint that she's with the bad guys, okay? When you have 30 candidates across the country murdered in a single year in political violence, but the president doesn't have a bodyguard. Your country is run by cartels, but the president doesn't fear her for her life. What does that tell you? What does that tell you about who she's working with? She doesn't have to fear the Mexican people because the Mexican people fear the cartels. Okay? That's how this works. That should have been your first hint about this. And again, we were talking about this when the previous Mexican president was running. Because the same thing happened then. Every time Mexico has an election, dozens and dozens of people are murdered, including dozens of candidates, because their culture is completely corrupt and accepts that level of corruption as normal. You'll notice that as we become more like Mexico, as our population becomes a greater and greater percentage of people from Mexico, you'll notice that our country is also entering into that cycle of corruption. It's what's being brought over here. It's what's being imported in with the people, is the mindset of the people. And the willingness, not just willingness to allow corruption, but active participation in the corruption. Now, I talk about this daily, it seems. Maybe too much, but it is like the overarching, you know, reality of what we're dealing with. And I saw Alex touch on this a little bit. It was the video of the Indian people in the airport lining up in wheelchairs. And it's sort of the perfect example of what I'm constantly talking about, although there are sort of two aspects of this that we'll get into as soon as I find my tweet about it. But if we can go to this video, we have the video of the clip number 25. Air India says that at this point, 30%, nearly a third of passengers on India-U.S. flights claim to be disabled. They claim to need a wheelchair. They claim to need mobility assistance, because if you need mobility assistance, you go to the front of the line. So then they claim to need mobility assistance, which not only is cheating, is just lying and cutting the line, it also is massively disadvantaging the people that actually do need help, who actually do have disabilities. They're being screwed over. And it creates a condition in which if you're not screwing the system, if you're not taking advantage of loopholes, if you're not exploiting things that aren't locked down with law, then you're an idiot, because everybody else is. So unless you want to be left behind, unless you want to be constantly disadvantaged, you will also participate in the immorality. So I've come up with a few phrases for this. Let's go first to the video. Here is just the sheer number of people claiming to be disabled so they can get on the flight a little bit earlier than everybody else. Let's watch. And the line just goes on and on and on and on and on. It really is incredible. Did I ask y'all to maybe I didn't ask y'all to print it out, so we'll just go to my Twitter. Do y'all have the computer screen now? Because I'll just read along with it, but it'll be better if people can see it. Because I have trouble. I want a phrase. I need a phrase. I need something that encapsulates what we're witnessing here. Something that's self-evident. That doesn't need to be explained. Like, these things can be just massively useful. And again, we explain this all the time when it comes to things like, you know, the alt-right. On the surface, it just means the alternative right. It's people on the right that are the alternative to the establishment. I think it's a very useful term. It's actually kind of coming back into vogue now. People are using it now because it's enough time has gone past that it sort of dropped the association that it was saddled with. So like when Trump first started running and people were saying he was alt-right, it was like, yeah, that makes sense. That's a very good phrase. Neoliberal, alt-right. Like it just you get it immediately upon hearing it. So then they take this phrase that to me encapsulated just the entirety of the MAGA coalition. Again, just by definition, the alternative right. Okay, right wing, not establishment, that's us. That's all of us. That's Alex Jones and Steve Bannon and Donald Trump and whoever else. It describes all of us. But then that was a very powerful political force being manufactured. So they hijacked that phrase, said actually alt-right means literal Nazi. So now you can't be alt-right anymore. So then all of a sudden, you know, I couldn't be alt-right and whoever else is alt-right. And even though we differ on things, we're under the same banner because we're both right-wing and we both aren't satisfied with the establishment. Instead, it became fractured. And well, you can't all be the same thing. So, you know, you guys be the libertarian right and you guys be the, you know, whatever else right. And so you'll all be splintered and fractionalized. And again, I think that was deliberate. I think they understand the power of labels. They understand the power of words. And when you can destroy a label or a word, you can destroy the concept that comes along with it. So we're doing sort of the inverse here. We're trying to identify a word that can help us define what exactly we're talking about here. And I'm actually... Again, I thought I had this printed out, and if the crew can find it, I retweeted that video and labeled it. Oh no, I don't even see it. I think Twitter messes with me. Sometimes my tweets just don't show up. Here it is. All right, I finally found it. Thank you, crew. So these are the phrases I came up with to define this phenomenon, and again to describe exactly what I'm talking about here. I'm trying to describe the process by which vulnerabilities in a system are taken advantage of to such a degree that the original point of the benefit is destroyed, right? In other words, there's a vulnerability in that if you say you're disabled, we're just going to believe you. That's a vulnerability. We're not going to force you to prove that you're disabled. You don't need a doctor's note. It's just the process is too heavy. And this is the thing. If you have people who are willing to lie like this, and take advantage of vulnerabilities, and you can't have the vulnerability anymore, which means you have to actually, you know, create a system of law to, like, make it illegal. It's exhausting to have to do this. So many people take advantage of this vulnerability inaccurately. They don't actually qualify for it, but they say that they do to, you know, get a little bit of benefit. And so then the whole reason we have this vulnerability, the whole reason this system is set up is to benefit the disabled people. Not even to benefit them, but to actually make up for their disability. You go, well, you know, you're disabled. We ask you to do what everybody else does. That's really unfair to you. So we're going to set aside, you know, this nice thing that we do where we let you cut the line because we understand that's not your fault, you know, that you can't, you know, do things quite as physical as normal. Okay, fine. So we set that up. So then, without a law, without a strict method of determining who really is disabled, then enough random old Indian ladies pretend to be disabled that the actual disabled people are completely screwed over. So that's the first aspect of this. But it's sort of a dual issue. Because not only do you have people taking advantage of the thing, asylum is the same thing. We talk about this over and over. But the other aspect is when a vulnerability like that is abused to the point that it becomes necessary to participate in the abuse in order to succeed. If everybody in your class is cheating, you better cheat, right? Because they're going to throw off the curve. And even if you would normally get a good grade, everybody else is getting such a good grade that your grade is going to be dropped down to a F. So it's like in order to succeed, you have to cheat. You have to participate in this. Or in the hospitality industry, so many hotels and hospitality institutions use illegal immigrant labor to keep their overhead down. In order to compete, you almost have to. It's cost prohibitive to pay decent wages because all of your competition is undercutting American workers and therefore with a, you know, significantly lower overhead. So to compete at all, you almost have to break the law. You have to participate in the scam. This is the path down which our country is headed. Quite rapidly, in fact. Okay, so here are the terms. Here are the terms I came up with to describe this phenomenon, this psychological phenomenon. Let me just say one more thing before I give you the list. I don't mean to be teasing you along like this, but I get a lot of comments from people that are like, why don't we just call it Indians, you know, Pajits, South Indian, South Asian people being stupid. Like, it's like, you guys need to understand what's, I'm not talking about this thing in particular. I'm not talking about the particular thing that airlines have this way that you can cheat and cut the line. And these particular Indians took advantage of this one thing. I'm talking about an idea that's happening. I'm talking about a concept that's occurring across the whole country that manifests in a million different occasions like this, a million different instances of people taking advantage of vulnerabilities to the extent that they no longer function the way they're supposed to. People need to be able to expand. I'm not talking about this one particular news story. You have to learn to start seeing news stories as merely symbolic in and of themselves, symbolic, perhaps metaphorical, for the wider trend of collapse in trust, collapse in these systems, collapse in decency. Okay? That's just the last that just annoys the crap out of me. When I show a video of something and saying, this is an instance of a trend, of a phenomenon, of a thing that we should identify, and it's like people are like, you mean Indian people? It's like, no, this is happening with everybody. It's happening almost by force, because even if you're not the type of person that's doing this, even if you were raised in a Western American Christian tradition where you're told you shouldn't cheat, not because you might get caught, not because we can actually understand second order effects, and we have honor and dignity, and we understand that cheating to win, you might as well just not even play. Again, I've explained this a bunch, where you've got a subset of people who will cheat and yet will stand there on the victory platform with the gold medal, literally thinking, I earned this. I deserve this. They know they cheated. They know they scammed, but it doesn't matter to them. Me, if I cheated and won, I would have to go, look, I didn't win. I would feel so wrong accepting a victory, accepting a trophy for something that I didn't actually achieve. It would disgust me internally about myself. I couldn't live with myself if that happened. Okay, so even if you're raised in a house like mine, in a community like mine, in a nation like mine, what happens when that nation becomes the minority in its own country? What happens when those people in that mindset and that character and that honor becomes overwhelmed by a bunch of scam artists, cheaters, cutting in line? You have to go along with them or else you won't survive. Or you have to have the cultural superiority, cultural power, to punish the people that are taking advantage of your vulnerabilities. We seem unwilling or unable to punish this, and so we have to conform to it. I just hope we all understand. I'm talking about a trend in humanity, not a particular instance at a particular airport at a particular time. And this just annoys the crap out of me. Here are the phrases I came up with to define this phenomenon. Compound exploitation. I think that's a good one, kind of like compound interest, right? The more exploitation there is, the more exploitation is inspired. Compound exploitation. Integrity collapse threshold. That's the point that you reach in which the lack of morals, the lack of ethics, the lack of integrity reaches that critical mass and forces everybody else to adopt that lack of integrity itself. I would also call this a manipulation cascade. Manipulation cascade. In other words, as one person starts to manipulate a system, other people start to manipulate that system like a snowball rolling down the hill. It gets worse and worse. I wanted to call it something like that because it's like a spectrum. It's not necessarily a threshold. There is a certain point that you get to where if most of your nation is immoral, then the rest of it becomes immoral. That's true. But in general, it's more like a spectrum or a continuum, where it just gets worse and 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 worse until everybody's a cheater and a scammer. But then the cheating and the scamming can always get worse. So there's not really a threshold necessarily. So that's why I said manipulation cascade. It's a process that occurs. It's a domino effect that once it starts going, you have to actively and violently intercede or else it will continue on its own volition. Virtue collapse continuum, another idea. The virtue collapse continuum, how far along the collapse we are, is debatable, but we are clearly traveling away from virtue and towards collapse on this continuum. Maladaptive social influence. Okay, again, this is when you see other people getting away with crimes, and it subtly or overtly affects your psychology to think it's okay to commit crimes. Vulnerability grifting. This might be one of my favorites. Vulnerability grifting. Again, goes back to what I described. Liberty is an unguarded cookie jar, right? It's a vulnerability. It's unlocked front doors and kids playing in the yard without parental supervision. It's leaving your bike outside of the store while you run in because it's not going to get stolen. That's a vulnerability. Okay? Our little vulnerabilities in our system is what makes it free. It's what makes it nice. And you cannot preserve that if you don't preserve the character of the people that brought that system about. So vulnerability grifting, right? They see a vulnerability instead of thinking, oh, that's nice. Oh, that's nice. Oh, they do a nice thing for disabled people. That's, man, it must be tough being a disabled person getting on a plane. I'm glad they helped them out with that. No, instead they think, so I can just pretend I'm disabled and I get that benefit too. And they don't even check, the idiots. No, you're taking advantage of a vulnerability that's going to have to go away now. Yeah, I got a few more. Flaw farming. That's another one. Sort of like vulnerability grifting, vulnerability farming, something like that. Where again, you're looking out, you're seeking out, you're trying to find flaws in the system to benefit yourself because you have no love of the system or the people involved in it. Courtesy hacking would be another one of these. You take something that's a courtesy and you hack it because you think you're smart, because you think you're clever. This is the idea of the Halloween bowl full of candy says, just take one, and people just scoop it all into their bag like idiots. It's like, okay, well, just permanently damage that person's trust in society, and she's not going to leave out a bowl of candy next year, and you'll be empty-handed, but it doesn't matter to you, does it? Or the, you know, Indian people fishing the salmon runs in Canada. You can only do that for about a year or two, and then there's no more salmon, and there's nothing else to fish. So again, do we need to have laws, you know, to prevent people from going out and fishing? I guess so. I guess so. You know, again, it's one of these things where, you know, libertarians will say, well, the problem is that the government shouldn't be providing, you know, you shouldn't have to get a fishing license anyway. I have to pay the government to go catch a fish. That's my God-given right. And it's like, to a degree, yeah, I agree, in a utopia, in a perfect world, that's great. This world has Indians in it. We're fallen. We are capable of having these sorts of vulnerabilities with all these vulnerability grifters sneaking in to take advantage of this. Man, the crew is on top of it today. They're killing it. I love it. And then finally, we have exploitation snowball. The exploitation snowball, where once again, just like maladaptive social influence or the manipulation cascade, once the exploitation starts going, it grows and gets faster, and the faster it goes, the faster it grows, and the faster it grows, the faster it goes. So it just is a feedback loop that we have to decide to intervene in. And if people won't willingly and intelligently and with logic adopt our character and our morality because they recognize it's the best thing, then it's up to us. It's on us. It's our obligation to enforce it on everybody else. Because this isn't a preference. This is a fact. Our way is better. Our way built the world that they are currently destroying.
But when I tell you I need your prayers and your support and your word of mouth, I need it. And I don't want to go through long updates here, but they put in a month ago the state receiver. We got kicked out of the federal bankruptcy court. They're clear to come grab it. He's been in here every week. Doesn't really even talk. They say they're going to try to have a public auction, but we know the plaintiffs, the Democrats, don't want that. They don't want somebody to buy it that would keep this operation on air, so I don't really have any faith in that. We'll see what happens. And he isn't even talking to my lawyers and people, even though he's been up here in the last few weeks. So I don't know if they're going to come today and shut us down, or next week, or they're going to have an auction. I don't know. But that's the sword of Damocles hanging over this place. So there's an urgency there. We've survived so many times, and all the other tricks, people say, oh, you'll survive this time. Well, maybe God comes through. Maybe that's God's plan. Fine. I just give it all to God. I'm going to keep broadcasting. And then the minute we get taken down, the Ali Shields network fires up, the satellites, the stations, all of it, bigger studios getting built, a lot of stuff happening, but it takes money to do this. And I don't own the AliShieldsStore.com. The bad guys don't have any claim on that. It's owned by Bigley. They fund InfoWars now as the main sponsor, and they fund the All Access Network. I need your support. And the products are incredible. We only bring you the best supplements that will change your life. Highest quality, highest rated, 2,000 milligram per scoop. Bovine colostrum, and we got the best. Methylene Blue, incredible, so good for you. 99% of people have incredible effects. It's literally over 99%. And it's energy with no letdown. It cleans out your cells. It's incredible. With all these studies about it, reversing Alzheimer's and the callers call in. I had glaucoma that went away, and I'm not making any of those claims. Just type in the incredible, you know, no, ask ChatGPT or Grok about Methylene Blue. Get it now. Take the challenge. But take only like a quarter dropper when you first get it, because some people, like one of the crew members, thought he'd taken a hit of acid, basically. He was going crazy. He's like, God, I'm hiring a guy. What the hell? Oh, he's like a whole dropper. And the first time you take it, when it really hits you. So, you know, and if you're on serotonin reuptake inhibitors and stuff, you can't take it. It'll make you literally jump off a cliff. I mean, that's how strong it is, folks. So talk to your doctor. Look at the drugs you're on. Talk to him about it, because this is not a freaking game, okay? I mean, and all these things work in synergy together. So here's the current big sale. CMOS gummies, a fan favorite. 93 vitamins and minerals and trace minerals and elements that work together synergistically. Buy one, get one free. Ends tonight. We've got yesterday's sheets. It ends tomorrow. Buy any bottle of CMOS gummies and get another bottle free. Our CMOS is incredible. Get yours at thealexjonesstore.com. And we need the funds. It's always like the widow's mite. Where we just have enough. And I can bring on extra sponsors and stuff, but I know when I direct sell you stuff and I know it's quality, I know you're going to love it. And all I got to do is get you off the fence and take your step into a wider world. God's watching. Support the broadcast, word of mouth, prayer, and financially if you can. Plus, these are products you really need. Everybody's got to get that. If you just do one thing and you've been on the fence, never supported us, because less than 1% ever buy anything of our millions of listeners. That's fine. Okay. 1% of you to go, man, this guy's info's dead on. Let me get a bottle of this. What are you out? You supported a great broadcast. TheAlexJonesStore.com and become a VIP. If you're going to get anything, you should be a VIP. It's $30 a month. And instantly you're given $40 of credit. So you just go in when you're buying a couple products at checkout. You go, I'm going to be a VIP. Bloop. Puts $30 on your tab. And then as soon as you run the transaction, you notice 40 goes off your tab. See? And then you get special deals, special offers on everything. Sometimes special products just for you. And you can win free vehicle, you know, all of it. TheAlexJonesStore.com, become a VIP.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're going to get into Jeffrey Epstein in this segment because I've got a lot of new videos to show you, including a breaking statement from President Trump on the whole thing. But I haven't actually watched it yet. Can the crew watch clip number 4 for me and tell me if it's real? Now with AI, I'm like, I did see this posted. It was right before the show. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. So I assume this is really Trump's latest statement on Epstein, but it was posted by Luke Radowski, and he can be a tricky one. He's usually very solid, but sometimes he's sarcastic, and I didn't double check if this was sarcasm or not. So check clip number 4 for me, and we'll go to that. But we got all sorts of clips to go to about Epstein, including Thomas Massie questioning him in Congress earlier today. So we'll go to those in just a second, but let me just run through just the political stack here, because all these stories are, well, they would all be worthy of an entire show, but we'll just blow through them in a couple seconds because that's all we have time for. From Amuse on X, Michigan AG coordinated with Democrat NGO to target Trump allies. 5,800 pages of a FOIA request requested by Judicial Watch show Michigan's AG worked closely with the States United Democracy Center, founded by Norm Eisen, to push indictments against Trump electors, attorneys, and activists who challenged the 2020 election. Emails reveal multi-state strategies, shared action plans, and coordinated efforts to remove Trump from the 2024 ballot, despite the Supreme Court rejecting the 14th Amendment. And this was one of the women that we highlighted and, you know, did reports on, because there was a coalition of AGs that all coordinated and worked together long before Trump even announced he was running in 2024 to try to head him off at the pass is Jocelyn Benson and a number of others. And we've showed their interviews where they talk about how they were manipulating the election in order to stop Trump from being elected. They were like fairly open about their treason. I don't know why they're still out there. I don't know why Norm Eisen is still out there. He is like a kingpin in all of this. Norm Eisen is like one of the main, you know, minds behind the Russiagate collusion hoax, the attempt to strip Trump off the ballot in all these different states. I mean, he is like the lawfare kingpin, and he's still coordinating it to this day because the Trump administration isn't doing what it should be doing. It's not going after the people it should be going after. It's, in my opinion, completely failing to do what's necessary to get justice in this country. As Brandon Straka points out, by this point in Biden's first year, Merrick Garland's DOJ had already raided, arrested, and charged more than 650 Trump supporters, the most expansive political dragnet in modern U.S. history. They had pressured over 100 defendants into guilty pleas through aggressive stacking of charges, pretrial detention, and threat-driven tactics, and more than two dozen people were already sentenced. Democrats were nearly 5 months into their January 6th Select Committee, having subpoenaed thousands of documents and interviewed or deposed well over 100 people, building a massive one-sided investigative machine. By contrast, the Bondi DOJ has led to no meaningful arrest, no answers, and with statute of limitations expiring in a matter of weeks, no hope for justice for supporters of President Trump's whose lives were destroyed. Betrayed. We've been betrayed, is how I'd put it. And part of me is like, looking at what's going on with Trump and like Marjorie Taylor Greene, and it's so despicable, it's so heinous, and like backhanded, and just wrong what he's doing is, and those are the right words. Those are the right words. Nobody in the government has been a bigger defender of Donald Trump than Marjorie Taylor Greene, and she's paid the price for it. You can say what you want about Massey, because Massey sort of butted heads with Trump the entire time. And while I, you know, still definitely 100% support Massey, it's less objectionable when Trump is like, this Massey guy's always throwing wrenches in my works, and he gets more and more annoyed at them. That kind of makes sense. Marjorie Taylor Greene, however, I heard somebody say today, she's been, I think it was Clint Russell of Liberty Lock Pod, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure it's accurate, too. He's like, I think Marjorie Taylor Greene's been more supportive of Trump than his own family has. I mean, she's behind him on everything and out there fighting for him. There's this video going viral today of Marjorie Taylor Greene. I think it was back during COVID or something. Trump was trying to get something passed and nobody would take Trump's calls. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is running around the floor of the Congress shoving her phone in people's faces, going, Trump wants to talk to you. You need to talk to him. They were ignoring him. So she is like this dedicated Trump supporter who wants the Epstein list released and doesn't want our country taken over and controlled by a foreign state, Israel. So now he has gone after her with a vengeance. And it's despicable. Again, it's despicable, I think, to betray somebody like that. Well, on the other hand, you have people like Lindsey Graham, who has never been Trump's friend, never helped him out, never supported him in the first administration. And after January 6th, was one of the first to stand up and say everybody involved should be in jail and this was Trump's fault and, you know, he has to pay the price for it. So, you know, as we talk about all of the various influences and pressures that Trump faces, there's no excuse for this level of disloyalty. There's no excuse for this level of pandering to people who hate you and have screwed you over and over again. There really is just no excuse. So I don't want to hear any excuses, especially when you are doing absolutely nothing to rein in the people who you previously promised you would. I'm going to get into this a little bit later, but the final appeal has been denied for the killers of Ahmaud Arbery, Travis McMichael, William Roddy Bryan, and Gregory McMichael. Will spend the rest of their lives in prison with no possibility of parole, despite the fact that they're innocent. And so I want to get into this later because I think I'm going to have to really get into this. Because it was so long ago, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I remember the details, but I wanted to double check So I went back and looked at the facts again because, you know, I don't want to get up and be like, you know, these men were lynched and, you know, we have to free them. And then it's like, wait, but didn't they, you know? And then I later find out, like, actually they were hunting people and it was really, that's not what happened. So I went back and looked just to confirm, just so I didn't go out on a limb without all the facts. And it was worse than I remember. It was significantly worse than I remember. And the lynching of these men by the entire American power structure is brutal and horrific, and we have to get into that. Trump video is legit. All right, we'll go to that in just a second. Just a few more things here. This, again, is from the same story I was just talking about. Senate Minority Leader Eric Nesbitt, a Republican, a candidate for governor, I believe in Michigan, is asking the Federal Department of Justice to oversee Michigan's 2026 election in which Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson, a Democrat, is running for governor. They say, we, the undersigned Republican members of the Michigan Senate and House of Representatives, are writing to formally request that the U.S. Department of Justice deploy election official monitors and provide comprehensive oversight for Michigan's 2026 primary and general elections. This request is made in light of the DOJ's recent precedent of monitoring elections in other states to ensure compliance with federal voting rights laws and to protect the integrity of the electoral process. Our concern center on Michigan of state Jocelyn Benson, who, as the state's chief election official, will oversee the 2026 election while simultaneously appearing on the ballot as a candidate for governor. This creates an inherent and unavoidable conflict of interest as Secretary Benson will be administering an election in which she has a direct personal stake in the outcome. Such a situation risks compromising the impartiality required for election oversight and demands external federal scrutiny to maintain public trust. I would also add that she very openly has a literal track record of screwing over elections and bending the election rules to benefit her. It's like how I know her name is because she was made famous when like Zoom calls were leaked, where she is describing exactly how she was doing this, trying to mount a legal opposition to Trump before he ever even announces election by trying to forcibly remove him from the ballot because they claim that he violated the 14th Amendment, where that was written so that Confederate generals weren't appointed by the president to powerful positions. And so they say, because we say he participated in an insurrection, then therefore he's not allowed to run for, you know, office ever. Which was so far beyond. It's like, for one thing, this was for literally generals who had fought against the American government. Literal insurrectionists who waged a multi-year war against the American government. That's who it was meant for. So it doesn't apply to this anyway. Then he was never convicted of an insurrection. So you can't saddle him with the punishment for a crime that he didn't commit. Okay, so it's wrong for that reason. It's also wrong because it's not even about running for elections. It was about presidential appointments. So it was really about if a Southerner gets elected, they didn't want them, you know, putting Robert E. Lee as the Secretary of Defense or whatever. So it was about appointments, not elections. It was for Soviet or Civil War generals. And it doesn't apply to Trump in any way at all because he wasn't an insurrectionist ever. So she's already shown not just a willingness to consider bending the rules of elections to benefit her side. She has actively participated in this, had to be slapped down by the Supreme Court. How she's now running for governor, well, it's because she did that other thing, right? It's because the powers that be wanted to try to block Trump. She participated in that unsuccessfully. However, her commitment to the globalist scum trying to destroy our country has elevated her position to now she's running for governor. Federal officials confirm officers have begun Charlotte immigration enforcement. And I'd like to say something here that I don't think you're going to believe. So I went to a specifically local news story from a local outlet. I'm going to read it verbatim. So you can't say this is from InfoWars. You can't say this is from a right winger. This is the official numbers here. Prepare yourself. It's crazy. The federal government had not previously announced the push, but Mecklenburg County Sheriff Gary McFadden said earlier this week that two federal officials had told him that customs agents would be arriving soon. Charlotte is a racially diverse city of more than 900,000 residents, including more than 150,000 who were foreign-born. 900,000 residents, 150,000 of them are foreigners. Yeah, that's insane. That's insane. That is replacement migration in full force. Again, it's just nuts. It's just nuts. What would that be? 150 times 2 would be 300,000 times 6. So 1/6 of the residents, about? Something like that? Divide 900,000 by 150,000. Sounds like about 1/6 to me. Leftists impede deportations operation in North Carolina. Border Patrol commander says this is our effing country. That story from Infowars.com is yes, despite... Well, again, I got to choose my words here. I was going to say despite, you know, over a tenth of their city being foreigners, they're out protesting the removal of the illegal ones. But no, that's exactly why. No, it's because it is a city occupied by foreigners that are now rebelling against the lawful authorities, the federal government, from deporting people who are here illegally. The Trump administration will require SNAP participants to reapply for benefits. So this, I think, is great. This is a nice sort of Gordian knot cutting where the scams are so ubiquitous, the fraud is so rampant that you want to just cut the whole system entirely, and then people are going to like be really mad. So instead, you just go, you know what, you're all off, and you have to reapply. And then they're going to go through those reapplications to determine that they're real. I think this is actually a very intelligent and, you know, well-thought-out solution. I just want to see them carry it off with aggressiveness. NYC knockoff vendors back with a vengeance after just weeks after dramatic ICE raid. So you remember this, and on Canal Street in New York City, there are these dozens of African men selling counterfeit or stolen goods, and Savannah Hernandez identified it and said, "Hey, the Border Patrol should go after these guys." And the next day, they rounded them up and put them in prison. Well, now they're back, apparently. Sunday, fewer than 2 days later, there were as many as 100 of the rogue sellers back at it, pushing counterfeit goods laid out on blankets on the sidewalk between Lafayette and Center Street, some attracting long lines of customers looking to get their hands on an imitation Chanel bag or iPhone. While the threat of police and even immigration crackdowns hasn't been enough to thwart that pesky curbside business, a deep paranoia has taken hold among the sellers since last week's raid. "They're paranoid, that's for sure," explained a former shoe hawker named Django, 56, who said he now acts as a mentor to the younger sellers. "You go in there and tell them immigration is here and they'll disappear, not run, but disappear." Hey guys, I'm not the one telling you to do it. Look, I would never tell anybody to do something so rude, so very rude, but old Django says it could be really fun to go down to Canal Street and yell immigration is there and watch them all run. And then film it and put it on X and send it to me. That could be very fun. I like that. I like that fun game we could play. I think you just send them back. I mean, it's almost like a deer feeder, you know, or like a, you know, some sort of trap. It's like you clear them out, you arrest all the guys, you throw them in prison. 2 days later, 100 more guys show up, you capture them, throw them away, and like they just keep spawning like a video game. It's amazing. So clearly they're not taking immigration enforcement seriously, and I wonder if the people that are there selling the stuff now aren't the same people that were arrested 2 weeks ago, because it doesn't seem like anybody actually gets punished for the crimes they commit in this country, unless they're white guys who didn't commit a crime. Then they're punished with the full force and weight of the entire American law. And finally, we have this. I'm going to try not to spend too long on this, but very rarely in our coverage do we get an example so black and white, so stark, so impressive. Examples of the Republican Party deliberately, on purpose, by choice, they make a decision to lose. Okay? It's an undercurrent. It's a phenomenon that we see manifest constantly. Republicans just gifted victory on a platter, and they turn their noses up at it. They are allergic to winning, and it's a cliche. It's like overdone at this point. It's like too much. You hear it all the time. This example beats them all in a way that is genuinely baffling beyond comprehension. Indiana Republican senators reject Trump's redistricting push will not convene in December. So right now, there's multiple states that are eligible for redistricting, which means that the people in charge can change the congressional districts. And the whole reason that the congressional districts is as they are now is because through the civil rights movement, they like carved out racially exclusive areas so that, you know, black people could have their own representative in this area. So like the congressional districts that exist now are specifically and explicitly designed on the basis of race. And the Supreme Court has recently decided that it shouldn't be that way. So you have multiple states who have the ability to redistrict. Texas, California, Indiana, there's a number of other ones. If you take all of the seats that they could redistrict and reconfigure, if all of the Republican states do it and all of the Democrat states do it, the Republicans come out on top with like 5 or 10 extra seats. And the people in California can remove a couple Republican seats, but they won't gain nearly as much as we will if we do the same thing. So this is something they can do that's legal, that's actually good. They actually should redraw the congressional maps on a regular basis with how quickly changing our country is. It's a layup. It's a T-ball. It's a T-ball sitting on a tee waiting to be knocked out of the park. No barrier, no limitation, no obstacle to this. And they just choose not to do it. They're just choosing not to. Like last week, I used the metaphor of Republicans are a baseball team that refuses to do anything but bunt, right? And they strike out half the time anyway. They'll never swing away. They'll never go for the fences. They never give it their all. They want to always play it safe, which means they are always out at first, every single time. Hey, but their batting average is super high. They just, never actually succeed. They always hit the ball, although they don't. Actually, they strike out half the time. Anyway, it's a great metaphor. It's very accurate. But this is worse. This is T-ball. This is they walk up to the ball on the tee and they bunt. This is them bunting during T-ball. They nudge the ball off the tee and then hobble their way to first base and get out and go, whew, gave it my all. Swing away, you absolute moron. So, again, never have I seen such a blatant and outrageous example of Republicans deliberately abandoning a victorious fight. I mean, you could look at right now with what's happening with MAGA and everything. I mean, that's sort of a similar line, but there's still debate there. There's still some nuance there. This is not nuance. This is not subtle. This is very simple. If Republicans choose to redistrict, then they gain congressional seats. They're just not doing it. They're choosing not to. There's no reason to choose not to. They just want to lose. Literally, they just want to lose. Senate State President Pro Tem Roderick Bray announced Friday they were rejecting President Trump's push for congressional redistricting, a move immediately blasted by Governor Mike Braun and Trump allies. The Senate President Pro Tem said in a statement Friday afternoon that the Senate will not take up the issue, as was expected in an unusual December session, saying, quote, over the last several months, Senate Republicans have given very serious and thoughtful consideration to the concept of redrawing our districts, our state's congressional maps. Bray said, today, I'm announcing that there are not enough votes to move forward on that idea, and the Senate will not reconvene in December. Indiana lawmakers were scheduled to meet on December 1st to consider redrawing more Republican-leaning U.S. House districts ahead of next year's midterm elections, following a month-long pressure campaign by the Trump administration and his supporters. If the decision by the Senate Republicans stand, Indiana would become the first GOP-led state to outright turn down Trump's wish to squeeze out more Republican-friendly congressional seats ahead of the 2020 term midterm elections. See, this would be like the inverse of the phenomenon I was talking about last time. And so I'm not exactly adequate, but like when I'm describing that you have immoral people that will take advantage of a vulnerability, will take advantage of a whatever, and if you don't do it, you're a sucker because eventually enough people do it, and then you're an idiot for doing the right thing. You're an idiot for not cheating because everybody else is. So you kind of have to. there's a nuance to this, in that if you want to have a world where that doesn't happen, you might have to participate in it for the time being in order to get the power you need to stop it from happening. You know what I mean? But it's different here because this isn't even a vulnerability that's being exploited. It's just a thing you have the option to do if you want. And you have all the reasons in the world to do it. Not least of which is the president needs backup in the Congress to actually pass things so that all of his executive orders don't just get undone by the next president that comes in. Or reversed, or, you know, applied to a different set of people who suddenly now Trump supporters are domestic terrorists in the same way that Trump declared Antifa domestic terrorists. Like, you have to do what's necessary to win so that your morality can be the great morality. But these people are just refusing to do it outright. But what they're refusing to do is not wrong. What they're refusing to do is perfectly legal, perfectly valid. It is just an option that they could do if they wanted, and they're just choosing not to. It is retarded. So again, if you want to talk about all these other things that Republicans get wrong, you can at least make an argument as to why they might think it might be a good idea. There's no reason not to do this. The Democrats are doing this. They are doing it. California voted, it passed. They are redistricting. They are giving themselves more Democratic candidates. And so the Republicans are seeing the Democrats do this and just going, we don't want to do that. We don't want to. We'll let them get more seats, but we'll exclude ourselves from that process. Why? Why? We are rooting for a team that has somehow been convinced it is immoral to hit the ball. They can't explain it. It's not immoral. It's the way you win the game. But they won't do it. And they're like pointing to the other team and going, can you believe these guys are smacking the crap out of that ball? I can't believe it. It's like, but that's how you win. That's what you're supposed to do. They're like, well, morally, I couldn't be okay with that. I have a moral compunction against taking shortcuts like hitting the ball while playing baseball with a bat as the batter. I mean, it's just, okay. Great. I guess we'll lose then. I guess our country will go down the drain because you have been given the key to the city and you're dropping it down the gutter. Absolute morons. Oh my God.
You can judge a man by the enemies he dares to defy. He stands against those who would chain the voice of freedom, battling shadowy forces that seek to silence truth. He rises against those who would disarm the people, a lone sentinel guarding the rights of the many. Through the fire of unjust legal warfare, he fights. Not for himself, but for those who cannot. Stripped of wealth, betrayed by systems, yet driven by an unyielding hunger for justice. On the altar of truth, he swears an oath, enduring relentless assaults, slander, schemes, and ceaseless attacks.
InfoWars just lost their war on info.
InfoWars is shutting down.
And he remains unbroken, unbowed, unstoppable. His enemies thought they could crush him, thought they could bury his resolve. They were wrong. From the ashes of their lies, he rises stronger. A beacon of defiance in a world of shadows. His enemies reveal his strength, his courage, his heart. But this fight is not his alone. It belongs to every soul who yearns for truth, who dares to stand tall. Will you join him? Will you rise against the tide of tyranny? For a man is not defined by the enemies he faces, but by the fire he carries within. Stand with him. Fight for truth. The battle begins now.
Forged in the fires of liberty, the Alex Jones Network Live app stormed to number one in Apple's trending news apps. Big tech tried to bury it, but freedom's flame can't be extinguished. AJN Live delivers raw truth, uncensored broadcasts, hard-hitting reports, and live alerts the elites dread. Don't let censorship win. Download now. Stand tall. Join the fight. AJN Live, forged by liberty, powered by truth.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.